The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's Parsha is Armato Yisumase, the last Parsha is Sefer Bamidbar. In Parshas Matos, we have in Perek Lamed Aleph, that's by Sheni, Vayedaber Hashem al Moshe Lemor, Hashem said to Moshe saying, Nekein Nikmas B'nei Yisrael, go and take revenge on behalf of the B'nei Yisrael, Ma'esa Mijonim, from the Mijonim. The previous Parsha spoke of the king of Moab went to Bilam to try to, and he hired Bilam to curse and undermine Klal Yisrael so he would be able to destroy Yisrael. This was to no avail. In the end, Bilam told them, I'll give you an eitzah, I'll give you some advice. Send in your daughters. This was both, he sent, Bilam himself was from Midian. So he said, send in your daughters and let them entice the sons of Israel to hate, to sin. And when they have enticed them, they should entice them to bow to their gods, avei zora, idolatry. And this will do more to destroy them than anything else. Because this HaKadosh Baruch Hu hates, and then he will do the rest. So both the king of Moab and Midian sent in their daughters. And from here came the whole episode, a great plague, and the case of Pinchas and Zimri. So now Kodesh Baruch Hu said, go and take revenge from the Midianim, because they did this to you, and they caused so much bloodshed. So Moshe sent representation from every shevet, every tribe, to do this. A little later, in Pasuk Yud Gimel, by Shlishi, it states, "Vayitzu Moshe v'Elozar Akein v'chol nesi ha'eda likrosam." When they came back from the war, Moshe and Elozar Akein, and all of the nesim, all of the leaders of each shevet, went to meet them al michutz l'machane, outside the camp. Vayiktzeif Moshe al pigudei achoyel. Moshe became angry on the generals. Sorry, alofim, sorry, ameyas, haboy mitzvah melchomo. Vayimei ha-Moshe, hach yisem kol nekeva. You have killed all of the males, but you let the females live, and you brought them back. Hein hein oyu livnei yisro bidvar pilim. Bilam limso mal b'Hashem al dvar peor, v'tiyam agefa b'adas Hashem. These are the ones who caused the downfall through Bilam to Klal Yisrael. And why is it that you let them live? And he became angry over this. All right, so he met with them, and they did what they had to. A little later, in Pasuk Chof Aleph, they had brought the spoils back. And in the spoils were many vessels, cutlery, utensils. And these had to be kashered because they were used for treifas and avedas, for non-kosher foods. And they had to be purified. So it states, Vayome Elozar HaKohen al Anshei HaTzova HaBoy LaMilchama Zeis Chukas HaTeira Asher Tziva Hashem Es Moshe. Elozar HaKohen told all of the officers and the soldiers, these are the laws of the Torah on what to do with all of these utensils. Ach Es Azov, Es HaKesev, HaKosev, HaNechoshes, HaBaris LaBdil, what you should do with the various metal utensils. question is asked, why did Elozer HaKohen, why was he the one that instructed them? Why not Moshe? So Rashi tells us, he brings from the Chazal, that the Rashi is before, where it states that Moshe became angry. Actually, the Rashi is not before, the Rashi is here. The Rashi is on this pasuk in Chof Aleph. Rashi says, "Lefi shebo Moshe lechel kas, bo lechel toos." Moshe become angry, like we mentioned, because Achiyisim called the cave, you let all the females live. Because he became angry, so he no longer was able to pasken halacha. He was no longer able to render clear judgment. And when he saw that he had to go and instruct them in all of the intricate laws of how to kasher keli, how to kasher utensils and how to purify utensils, he saw he was a little hazy. It wasn't 100% clear. And if you're not 100% clear, you can't render judgments. So he told Elozer, you better go and instruct them. And Rashi brings v'cheinato meitzo, that we find that begimel makemus, three places, Moshe became angry, and in those three places, nis'alma mimena halochas, the halochas of the Torah, the laws of the Torah, became concealed from him. The second place was by the korbonos miluim, sacrifices of the inauguration. There was one that they didn't eat, Aaron and his sons, but they burnt. And Moshe became angry and he said, why didn't you eat it? And meanwhile, because he had become angry, he became confused in the intricate halachos, because there was the sacrifice for the inauguration, and there was the sacrifice, it was Reish Chodesh, and so on. And the third place was when HaKadosh Baruch Hu told them to go speak to the rock, and the people were getting very pushy. They kept complaining to Moshe, where's our water, and what did you bring us here for, and so forth and so on. And are you going to get water for 600,000 people from Iraq? He became angry and he said, Shimun Ahmerim, listen to me, you rebellious people. And then he forgot that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had told him to speak to the rock, and instead he struck the rock. Al Yidei HaKas To'o. Since he became angry, he forgot. The Gemara brings, the source for this is the Gemara in Masechet Pesachim, Daf Samech Vav Amud Beis. The Gemara says, Reish Lakish Amar, Kol Adam Shekeis, anyone who becomes angry. Now when we say angry, Ka'as, I mean we mean angry. See, anyone who becomes angry, im chokham hu, if he has wisdom of Torah, chokmosam istalekes mimano, at that time that wisdom is going to depart from him. Im novihu, if he has the level of prophecy, nivuasam istalekes mimano, at that time the prophecy will depart from him. Im chokham hu, chokmosam istalekes mimano mimesha. We know in regards to Chochma, wisdom, from Moshe. As it states, Vayikzef Moshe apekudei achoyl, and it quotes this parsha here. How do we know that Nevoasei, prophecy, will depart from a person? Me'elisha. that we bring a source from Shaftim. Excuse me, it's Malachim. The Malachim Beis, Perek Gimel, we have here about Yehoram ben Achav, Malach Yisrael. He made himself the king of Israel. And Yehoshaphat was the king of Yehuda. And Elisha was the prophet. And Yehoram was a Rasha. Yehoshaphat, not. And they made a treaty together, and they were having problems. And they needed a Novi, they needed a prophecy to give them some guidance as to what to do. So they said, Vayemi Yehoshaphat, Ein po Novi Lashem, is there no Novi, is there no prophet here? We need the Rosh Hashem Ma'esai. And then we can find direction from him, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which way he wants us to go. Vayan echod me'avdi melech Yisrael. So one of the servants from the Melech Yisrael said, Po Elisha ben Shofet, Asher yotzak mayim al yidei Eliyahu. There's a very great prophet here. There's the disciple of Eliyahu, Yehoshaphat, who he used to wash the hands of Eliyahu. Can he tell us the Dvar Hashem? They said, yes, he can. So, they came to Elisha. When Elisha saw that the Melech Yisrael was coming, that was Yehoram, who was a Rosho. He says, what do you want from me? What are you doing here? He says, why don't you ask your own prophets, the prophets of the idolatry? But meanwhile, Yehoshaphat was there, and Yehoshaphat told him that we're in trouble and we need direction. So Elisha answered. Vayeme Elisha, he says, Chai Hashem Tzavokes Asher Amadati Lefonov. He says, I take an oath by Hashem that I wouldn't be standing here before you today because of this Rosh Yehoram. Ki lule penei Yehoshaphat melech Yehuda ani neisei. I'm here only because Yehoshaphat melech Yehuda is here. And he I must give honor to. But the other one I won't even look at. So when he saw Yehoram, he got very upset. He got very angry. He says, but now Yehoshaphat, you're asking me for prophecy, I must give it to you. She says, bring me a menagin. Menagin was a musician. The musician came and he played music. And as he played music, Vati Alav Yad Hashem, prophecy came to Elisha. And Vayim Ekei Amar Hashem, and he told Yehoshaphat, this is what Hashem says you should do. So the Chazal asked he asked him for a prophecy, and he tells him, bring me a musician. And as the musician plays, then he tells him the prophecy. See? Why? What was all of this? So the Gemara tells us. The Gemara says that since he was there, he became angry because of Yehoram. When he tried to prophesy, he couldn't anymore. The Shekhinah had left him, because when someone is angry, Kodesh Baruch Hu departs from him. So he had to cool down. He had to soothe his nerves. And he was having a difficult time doing it, because he was standing here by this Rosh that was making him so angry. So he said, Kichuli Menagi, bring me a musician. He'll play nice music. It'll relax me. And I'll forget my anger. And then I will be able to prophesy. And that's what happened. So from there we see that Kol Mishu Novi, whoever is a Novi, and he becomes angry, the prophecy departs from him. Then, Om Ramani Bar Patish. Ramani Bar Patish adds a third level. He says, Kol Shekei Safil Peskin Olav Gdula Min Hashemayim. Whoever becomes angry, even if they had already decreed for this person Gedula. Gedula is royalty. Meridin Esai. If he becomes angry, they take the royalty, they take this leadership, this kingship away from him. Minolan, how do we know? Famila Eliyahu. This is another story. In Shmuel, Shmuel Beis, it's brought that the story of Goliath, Goliath the giant, Goliath the giant. He was standing there. He was a great giant from the Plishtim, from the Philistines, and he was standing there and cursing Klal Yisrael, and he was challenging them to come and fight. Heaven forbid, he was cursing Shomayim and so forth and so on, and nobody would go out to fight him. There was no one his equal. And Kol Ish Yisrael, this is in Shmuel Aleph, Perek Yud Zayin, Kol Ish Yisrael Bereisem Eso Ish. Many times, even the great warriors from the Israel, they looked at him, Vayinusha Mipomeh, Vayiru Miyod, they ran away from him. They were very afraid of him. So meanwhile, he stood there, and this went on for a number of days. David, who was a young lad at that time, and he was a shepherd, he was watching the sheep for his father. And the sheep were in the desert, not far away. And his father had given him some food to go take to his brother, who was in the army. So he came down, and he saw what was going on. He says, why is everyone standing around and nobody's doing anything? And they let this uncircumcised one curse and shout obscenities and whatnot and whatnot. And so forth and so on. And this was the story where David said, he'll go fight. Meanwhile, Vayishma Eliyahu, Ochi Vagodl. Eliyahu, who was the oldest son of Yishai, the oldest brother of David, he hears David here, a young lad, a young shepherd, and he's talking to the soldiers. And he's telling them he'll go fight this giant that the greatest warriors were afraid to go near. And Eliyahu became very angry at David. What are you doing here? And who did you leave the sheep with in the desert? And he became very angry at him. He says, I know your nature. I know what kind of nature you have. You love war. You're here because you want to see the fighting, you want to see the bloodshed. He says, I know what kind of person you are. He became very, very angry. So here we see Eliyahu became angry. In another perek, in Shmuel Aleph, in Perek Tes Zayin, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Shmuel, he said, for how long are you going to mourn over Shaul? This was when he told Shmuel that I no longer want Shaul, King Saul, to be the king. He says, Ad Moshe Ator Misabel al Shaul. For how long are you going to mourn over him? Banim asked him Mimlech al Yisrael, and I have rejected him to be the king of Israel. He says, Malek Kano Choshemen, Veleich Et Lachacho El Yishai Beis Alachmi. Take your horn and fill it with oil and go to the house of Yishai in Beis Lechem. Kiroi Isi Bavonov Li Melech. And there you will see amongst one of his sons who should be the king. So the story goes on. He went. He came to the house of Yishai. And he told Yishai, I want to see your sons. Which son? He says, the oldest. So Vayhi Bevarim Vayar Es Eliov. So he saw Eliov. And Eliov was a very handsome, good looking son. Vayimar Ach Neger Hashem Mishichai. And he said to Hashem, this is the Mishichai. This is, must be the one you want me to anoint to be the next king of Israel. Vayimar Hashem El Shmuel. And Hashem said to Shmuel, Al Tabet El Marehu Vel Geveya Kemosei. Do not look at someone who's handsome. Do not look at someone who is tall and well built. Kima astihu, because I have rejected him. I despise him. Kile ashe yira odem, because I look at a man not like you look at a man, or like a man looks at another man. Ki odem yira le naim vashem yira levov. One man looks at another man and he judges him by what he can see. I judge a man by what is concealed in his heart. All right? So he told Yishai, bring out your next son. So he brought out the next son, and Hashem said, Gam bezele bachar Hashem. I have not chosen this one either. Brought out the next one, Gam bezele bachar Hashem. This one I haven't chosen either. And he went through every son. There were seven sons. It's a question if there were seven or eight sons. Went through every son, and each one he said, Gam bezeh lebochar Hashem. Hashem has not chosen this one either, until he came to the youngest one, which was David. Now the Chazal asked, and everyone had said, Gam bezeh lebochar Hashem. This one I haven't chosen. When it came to Eliyahu, didn't say I didn't choose him. It says, Ki ma'astihu, I have rejected him. I have rejected him. So the sages learn from here, he rejected him, which meant he was chosen. And now he's been rejected. The others Hashem never chose. Eliyahu the oldest was the one who was marked to become the next king. And that's why it does not say on Eliyahu, Gam bezeh lebochar Hashem. Hashem has not chosen him. But Astiho, I have rejected him. I'll say, why did he reject him? Because he was a balkash. He was a person who became angry, like we see from that other episode. So therefore, the Gemara tells us, kol mi shekeas, when a person is a person who angers often, afilu peiskin olav gedula min hashamayim, even if it's decreed from heaven that he will have gedula, he will have royalty, he will have kingship, meirin naisai, it's taken away from him. The Gemara in Ervin, that's the Gimel Amud Beis, tells us, this actually is relevant to what the yeshiva is learning now, Masechta Sukkah. It states, Amar Baber Amar Shmuel, Shlei Shonim Nechleku Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. The house of Shammai and the house of Hillel, they had many, many disputes in Halacha, many, many basic disputes. And then they had an all-encompassing dispute as to who should the halacha be like. Should we always adhere to the judgments of Shammai or adhere to the judgments of Hillel? Halolo aymerim halacha kemaisenu va halolo aymerim halacha kemaisenu. And they argued over this for 3 years. Yotze baskol ve'omro. Finally one day Shammaim intervened. A voice from heaven came down and said, Elu ve'elu divrei elekim chayim. The opinion of both of them are the opinions of the living God. Cannot say one is right and one is wrong. But halacha kebeisel. But still, we can only do one way. Can't do both ways because they were totally contradictory. So the Baskol, the voice of heaven, said, "You shall walk. You shall do in accordance to Hillel." So now the Gemara asks, if you would say one is right and one is wrong, I can understand why you should do like one. But since you say that both are Divrei Elohim Chayim, both are the opinions of the living God, so now on what basis do you choose one over the other? So mipnei ma zochu beis Hillel likvei halacha kemeishon. In what merit does Beis Hillel have that the ruling should always be like him? So the Gemara says, "Mipnei shenechin," because they were very patient, and they were very self-suffering, and they were very calm and settled. Ba'aluvin, I mean, for you, and they were aluvin. They were self-suffering. If someone would insult them, they would shrug it off. V'sheinin divrehan v'divrei Beis Shammai. And whenever anyone asks them a question, what is the deen, what is the law? They would not say that Hillel says this is the law. They would say that Shammai says this is the law, and Hillel would say this is the law. They wouldn't say merely, this is the way Hillel says. They would say, it's a machlekes, it's a dispute. This is the way Hillel says, this is the way Shammai says. They never ignored, the words of Shammai. Even though the Gemara says that b'mokam beis Hillel Shammai lav mishnehi, that we don't even consider it as a dispute, because the Baskol said we should set the halacha, the deen, like the law, like Hillel. But if you would ever ask anyone from beis Hillel, from the house of Hillel, they wouldn't tell you this is the law. They would say it's a dispute. This is what Rabbi Hillel says, and this is what Shammai would say. And not only that, but first they would say over what Shammai would say, and then they would say over what Beis Hillel would say. They would give more covet to Beis Shammai. This was their nature. Where do we see this? Case is Shishonino, like a Mishnah that we have in Masechet Sukkah and Daf Kaf Ches. The Mishnah says Misha Yareishu Veruba Besukkah. Someone who's sitting in a sukkah, and he's sitting in a sukkah, and the majority of his body is in the sukkah, but shulchan b'seich habayis, but the table is in the house. The sukkah is built right next to the house, to the doorway to the house. So he's sitting in a sukkah, but he's taking food off the table that's in the house. Beis Shammai peislin, Beis Hillel machshirin. Beis Shammai says it's not kosher, it's not good, and Beis Hillel says it's all right. Omru Beis Hillel le Beis Shammai. Now this is the episode which they're quoting. The house of Hillel said to the house of Shammai, "Lekach hayamaisa." Didn't this happen? Shohochu zikne Beis Shammai v'zikne Beis Hillel levake as Rabbi Yechon ben Achoranis. That the elders of Beis Shammai and the elders of Beis Hillel went to visit once Rabbi Yechon ben Achoranis. Now the house of Hillel is saying over the story, they should have said the elders of Hillel and the elders of Shammai went to visit Rabbi Yechon ben Achoranis. Instead they said the elders of Shammai and the elders of Hillel went to visit. They gave more honor to the house of Shammai than to the house, to their own house. Matzu yeshiv reishiv rube besukkah. And they saw that he was sitting in this situation, that he was in the sukkah, but shulchan b'sei habayis, the table was in the house. Omru lehen Beis Shammai misham raya. All right. So, at any rate, we see that not only would they tell us the opinion of Beis Shammai, but they would tell us that first, before the opinion of Beis Hillel. And the Gemara, so this is why they was zocha to have the halacha like them, like themselves. And the Gemara brings, after that, it says, from this lalandecho, from here we learn, whoever holds himself humble like Kodesh Baruch Hu lifts him up high. Whoever holds himself up high, Kodesh Baruch Hu will humiliate. Whoever chases royalty and greatness, gedula bereches mimeno, the royalty will run away from him. But whoever runs away from the honor, the gedula machzer esacharov, the gedula will chase him. Whoever presses the hour. What does that mean? Rashi says, "Mishagia la'ashir lizgadl b'raya shena matzliach." A person wants to become wealthy, or he wants to gain great fame, and he sees, after many, many times, it's not going his way. It's not going his way. It's not succeeding. Afal pikein chayze v'heilech lemerchokim u'machnis atzmai l'gvais. But still, he pushes forward and he goes to all kind of extremes. That's what it means, dehik es ashor. He presses the hour. Shor dekosei. The hour will press him back. He will not succeed. The hour will crush him. Kol anitche mipnei ashor. But when a person sees that, look, now's not the time. He's not succeeding so much here. Now's not the time. And he waits patiently. Shor medesle. Then the hour will come back to him. And he'll succeed later. At any rate, here it states that when it came to having the halacha established like one opinion, it didn't say because they were cleverer than Shammai, but it says because they were very calm. Shammai was known as a captain. Shammai was very strict and very rigid, and they could become angry. And Hillel, we have the story in Masechta Shabbos in Perek Brahma Madlikim, that there were those that took the wager to see if they could get Hillel angry, and they would come in Erev Shabbos when he was in the bath, and he'd have to come out and put on his robe, the whole business, and they would ask him all kind of foolish questions, and they couldn't make him angry. And we have the case there also, the Gemara brings, with the three gerim. They were prospective candidates for gerus, for conversion, and they came to Shammai with all types of ridiculous demands. I want to become a ger on the condition that I can become a kain godel. Even someone who's a born Yisrael cannot become a kain godel. You have to be born to the Shevet Levi. Or I want to become a ger on the condition that you'll teach me the whole Torah on one leg. Or I want to become a ger on the condition that I'll believe the Torah Shebiksav, but not the Torah Shebal Peh, the written law, not the oral law. And Shammai would take his measuring rod. He was a builder. He would get angry and chase them out. And he wouldn't be upset at all. He would say, "My son, sit down, we'll learn, we'll take care of it." And in the end, he was successful with them. It was this. Because of this, they merited that the halacha should be established according to them. That's what the Gemara brings here. There's another Gemara in Sochim Dakuf Yudzayin. Similar, but the Gemara brings by David HaMelech. David HaMelech sometimes would be very upset, and he'd be angry, and he'd be troubled, and he sat down to write his Tehillim. and he would find it wouldn't go. Other times, he would be in a very, very settled mood, very satisfied. He would sit down to write his Tehillim, and it went beautifully. So the Gemara tells us that where it states, LeDavid Mizmor, and David sang, there it means that first he was David, and then he sang. He was to the level of David, of King David, and then he was able to sing the Zmirais to Hashem. He wrote the beautiful Zmirais of the Tehillim. Where it states, Mizmor LeDavid, which means not David sang to David, there was a song, but it means Mizmor LeDavid, a song to David, that means he sat down to write and it didn't go. So he had to first sing. He had to sing in order to calm his nerves and settle himself. Then he became David, who could write the Tehillim. That's why some places we have where it says LeDavid Mizmor, he was David first and then he sang, wrote the Tehillim, or Mizmor LeDavid. He had to sing first to become David in order to write the Tehillim. So the Gemara says, from that we learn, Lamdecho, Shein Ashchina Sheira, that the Shechina, the holiness of Hashem, does not dwell on a person, Leimitech Atzlus, Veleimitech Atzlus, not if he's sluggish, not if he's upset, let me take skeik, not if he's, let me take kalis reish, not if he's foolish, he's lightheaded, where there's no seriousness whatsoever. Can't have an over seriousness to the point where he's weighed down and he's worried. And to the other aspect, you can't have where there's no seriousness whatsoever. So he's just totally folly. But let me take Dvarim B'Teilim. And also, the Shekhinah does not dwell in the presence of idleness. The Shekhinah likes industry. Right? Things are being done, things are being achieved. Let me take Dvar Simcha Shel Mitzvah. But the person has to be a Simcha. And it must be a Simcha, though, of substance, of Mitzvah. And then also brings from the Elisha, where he called the menagin. And then the Gemara says, "Bechein l'dvah halocha." This also applies to paskin halocha, to giving a judgment. So we see the Shechina departs when a person is upset with anger, and the Torah departs when one is upset with anger. The Shechina is nevuah, is the prophecy, and we see also the gedula, leadership, royalty, also departs. And that, there's a Gemara in Sanhedrin that states, Amar Rav Lezer, called Parnes HaManiges HaTzibor Benachas. A leader has to lead his people benachas, calmly. And then he will be zecha to lead them even in the world to come. Now, what are the reasons for this? The reasons for this, this is in a number of places in the Maral, in the Sivakas, and other places. The reason for this is we have the spiritual world, and we have the physical world. The spiritual world, the Olam HaBilti Gashmi, firstly, that's very far from change. People, we earthlings, are moody. You can catch us in one mood one day and another mood another day. You can catch us in one mood in an hour and another mood another hour. The fact is, you can ask someone something one day and he'll say yes, and you ask him the same thing next day, he'll say no. See? Changes his mind, he changes his mood. That's all part of the physical world. Spiritual world, Akira Kodesh Baruch Hu says, Ani Leishonishi. Kodesh Baruch Hu says, I never change. What I say, you know, you go to the person, you'll say, you wonder if he's going to If he's going to tell me the same thing he told me 6 months ago, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he could have said it thousands of years ago. It doesn't change. Torah doesn't change. The spiritual world doesn't change. It's constant. It's tamid. This where we find change, that belongs to the physical world, not to the spiritual world. The fact is, we see even, Manal writes that there's a physical world which is higher than the physical world that we live in. He calls that a middle world. And that's the world of the Gagalim, of the planets, of the sun, of the moon, of all the stars. It's a physical world, but it's a higher physical world than we live in. He says, there you notice that the change is even more rare than in our world. And this is what astronomers and mathematicians are constantly amazed with. See, how things run over courses of thousands and thousands of years on microseconds. The fact is, there's very little loss, if no loss whatsoever. Here everything eventually disintegrates, decays. You don't find that in that world. But when you get to a total spiritual world, there you have a havaya tamidus, constant. And there you have shleimus, perfection, perfect balance. In the spiritual world, you have perfect balance, which is far from extremities. And that's shlemus, perfection, far from extremities. Now these powers were given to the Seichel Adam. Ribot, who gave the soul to the person and he gave him his intelligence, a man can link into that level with his seichel, with his intelligence. That's why we can learn Torah. Mitzvahs of the Torah. The Torah never changes. On the other hand, now, if we will analyze what is anger, you'll see anger is a total antithesis to everything that we've just said. Anger takes place when the body and the emotions take over the mind. And radical changes take place. Radical and rapid changes take place in the human being, and he loses his balance, and he's propelled to extremities. If a person goes into a rage, or he goes into a panic, what happens? It's radical physical emotional changes taking place in his body. There's a loss of balance. And the reactions can be extreme. You ask the person, why did he react that way? They'll tell you, he lost his mind. He went out of his mind. He lost his head. That's exactly it. Because when his mind is ruling, we're talking about the mind is ruling when it's not under the influence of the body or the emotions. And that's the closest we can get to the spiritual world. So the whole direction and effort of the mind is to keep the person in direction, to keep the person balanced. If he loses his mind, capable of doing anything. When we have extreme cases like that, then they end up in court. See? Person loses his mind during a rage. It's capable, heaven forbid, of doing anything. person loses his mind in a panic. That's why do they tell you never to panic? Even in, heaven forbid, in great extraordinary situations, because you'll do everything you shouldn't do. Then you need your mind more than ever, and you'll do everything you shouldn't do. So we have here that when a person's mind is not influenced by the physical or emotional man, he's coming very close to the spiritual world. And the spiritual world is constant and balanced and straight, and it stays away from extremities and radical changes. If he goes into a rage, what's happening is he's losing that mind. The body and the emotions are overcoming the mind, and then everything just opposite happens. Radical and rapid changes accelerate through his body. He can move from one extreme to the other, mikotze lakotze. Logic, which is the product of the uninfluenced mind, is lost, and he loses his balance. And this is what we have. A professor once told me, professor of medicine, he once told me that they've measured the changes, the chemical changes that take place in the body when a person is put under severe physical stress. They've measured the chemical reactions in the body. And then they measured the chemical reactions in the body when a person is put under severe emotional stress. And the emotional stress caused far more radical changes in the body than just physical stress. And this is part of what we're saying. Well, this is an example of this. That what happens, the same thing when a person becomes angry. It's for this reason that Shlomo HaMelech wrote in Mishle, Tev Erech HaPayim Milech Ein Ir. Someone who can control his rage, control his anger, is stronger than he who can conquer a city. Why? Because someone who conquers a city, he's conquering something which is physical, but through physical methods, through physical ammunition. On the other hand, someone who is Erech HaPayim, that can control his rage, he's conquering not only a physical person, but emotional person also, but not in a physical manner, through the spiritual mind. And therefore he's greater. And this is why the Gemara brings in Masechta Shabbos, Kol HaKeis Kila Eiver Aved Zora. The Gemara says if someone becomes so angry where he starts to break kelim utensils, he starts to tear clothing, that's Kila Eiver Aved Zora. It's as if he's worshipping idolatry. Because no longer is a seichel ruling. But now he's become enslaved to his emotions or to his yetzer hara. So he's become enslaved to other forces. And to become enslaved to other forces, that is similar to idolatry. Therefore, there's no doubt that if someone is in a state like this, he's not going to be zeichet to Torah. By Torah, you have to come to the spiritual plane of Torah, where Torah stays in the middle. When a person becomes angry or in a rage or upset, it's just the opposite. The Maral brings in specifically when it comes to halacha, See, we see that this meant with halacha, with beisham and beisilu. Because what is halacha? Halacha is the perfectly balanced, judgment of all of the debate, of all of the discussions, of all of the people. This is what halacha is. That requires the mamutza, that it must be right in the middle. Fact is, the Chazal tell us halacha comes from the word halicha, to walk. When you walk, how must a human being walk? He can't walk like a drunk. A drunk walks from one extreme to the other because he's lost his mind. His mind has become intoxicated, it's not working. But someone else walks straight. So this is why, actually, the Gemara brings that Beishame were Harifi Tuva. Beishame really were more brilliant. When it came to Pilpul, they were greater than Hillel. Because for the debate, and for the discussion, and you need sharp arguments. Okay? For example, we have an advocate sitting here, I don't want to say anything derogatory, but for example, your most famous lawyer in court doesn't have to be the most truthful lawyer in court. See, who becomes the famous lawyer? Who becomes the famous advocate? He who can refute the arguments. He who can present the best arguments. He who can destroy what someone else built up. He who can find the loopholes. That's Harifus. See, that's the pilpul. That takes brilliance. But that's not the halacha. That's not the judgment that the judge renders. What must the judge do? He has to hear the whole debate. He has to hear the whole discussion. From there he has to choose the perfect path. So Shammai were Harifei Tuva. They were brilliant. But when it came to the Kfiyas Halacha, what the Halacha should be, it says, they went to Beis Hillel. Because they were perfectly in control. They never lost control. Always calm. People could insult them. Didn't upset them. They had such self-control. Therefore, it was Nikba, the halacha was set like them. And the same thing now, this is why it's contrary to Nevuah. Prophecy, we need Shechina. And this is why also it's contrary to Gedula, because the Melech is supposed to lead the nation. Lead the nation means lead them in a good path, in a perfect path. Not let them run wild, and not let them lead them from one extreme to the other all over the place. Like the Seichel is supposed to lead the Odom. That's why if someone is a Kasson, like Eliyahu, he can't be the Melech. He won't be a good king. There's a Rambam that the Rambam says, there's a contradiction in the Rambam. Rambam brings in Hilchos Deos in Perek Alef Halacha Dalet, he brings that by every particular quality and character trait that a person has, he shouldn't go to the right extreme, he shouldn't go to the left extreme, he should go in the middle. And he brings the same thing with anger. He shouldn't be someone that gets angry at the drop of a hat. But on the other hand, he said, he shouldn't be kimei shena margish. He shouldn't be like a dead person that has no reactions. But bainini, he should be in the middle. Lo yichay salal dovar godl sherei lichay salav. He shouldn't get angry except on something which is very great and appropriate to get angry over. For example, in order that he or someone else shouldn't do it a second time. That's what he says in Perek Aleph Halacha Dalet.
In Perek Beis, Halacha Gimel, the Rambam writes there are two qualities that even though by all qualities one should never go to an extreme, there are two qualities that one should go to an extreme. He says one is humility and arrogance. There he should go to the extreme to be onef mi'od, very, very humble. And then he says the other is anger. He says, v'chein akas midorohi ad mi'ayid. Anger is very, very bad. And the way Lomish Yisrach men ala kotzra acher, there a person should go to the extreme, to the other side. Yelamed atzmei, teach himself, shele yichais, he should not anger, afil al dono shiroi lichais alof, even on something which is appropriate to get angry over. And if he wants to, many times you have to, a father must show his anger to his children. A leader must show his anger to the people. He says, then you should show it. You should show them the anger, but not really be angry. See? You should act like you're angry, but you have to be totally in control of yourself. This is a contradiction, and the question is asked. There's one difference between the two Rambams. In the one that he says that a person should never get angry, there he says, afil adova sharei lichai salav, even on something which is appropriate to get angry over. And the one that he says, there are times you should get angry, he says, el adover godel sharei lichai salav. You should get angry only over something which is great and appropriate to get angry over. The Rambam, we cannot say that a person should never get angry, should never get upset, he should never go into even a rage. We can't say that. Why? Well, you take what here with Pinchas and Zimri. Pinchas went and committed murder, and he needed an awful lot of motivation to do that, because it states that he risked his life doing it. He had to go into a tent and was surrounded by the guards of Shimon, and if they knew what he wanted to do, they would have killed him. And this is why he was called the Kanoi. This parsha right here states Nekein Nikmas Israel, Nikmas Midian, go to war. You can't go to war and kill people. That's not a soldier. A soldier has to have a reason why he's killing. And then Mesha had a complaint, you didn't kill the women. You cannot go and kill men and women unless you're a maniac, a lunatic. Normal people cannot go and kill unless there's a justified reason that they have become so angry at what they've done. They take revenge. This is what revenge is. Kosh Baruch Hu says, take revenge against Amalek. Remember what Amalek did to you. It states in the Megillas Chanukah that Matishohu, when he saw this Jew go and bring a sacrifice to the altar that the Greek general had put up in public, it says he trembled with rage, and he became like Pinchas, and already now all the Greek soldiers and the arms meant nothing to him. And he went and he killed the person and he fought with the soldiers. When Mesha saw a Egyptian striking a Hebrew, and at that time Mesha was living in the palace of Pare, you think he killed him without any feelings? Okay. He became so angry that he went and he killed him. And the Gemara says, there's a Gemara that says, Talmud Chochem derosach, deraisahu derosach. Talmud Chochem becomes angry. It's the Torah in him that's becoming angry. There's a Rambam that brings
at the end of Hilchos Tamei Torah.
Rambam says that a person has to be ever forgiving, and especially a Talmud Chacham. And even though if somebody comes to insult a Talmud Chacham, say an Amoritz comes, an ignorant person comes, and he insults a Talmud Chacham, he has the right to put him in Cherem. He can put that person in a Cherem, excommunicate him.
He says, Af al pi sheyesh reshus lechacham, lenades lechabd lechvedei, enishpach letamud chacham, lahani gatzma ledovizeh. He says, that's not praiseworthy of a Talmud Chacham. But when an Amoritz insults a Talmud Chacham, he should close his ears to it. Walk on. And he says, the Hasidim Rishayim, the early sages used to pride themselves on how many times they were insulted, and they never reacted to it. Shomim cherposin veinim eshivin. And they would forgive. But then the Rambam says, this is when he insults the person privately. But if he does it publicly, so now it has to do with Chil Hashem, it has to do with the desecration of the Torah, and the desecration of the honor to Talmidei Chachamim, he says then he's not allowed to. And if he does forgive him, he says he'll be punished, because he's bringing Bizayin HaTorah, he's bringing disgrace to the Torah. As the Rambam says at the end of Hilchos Tamei Torah, he's supposed to revenge this like a serpent until the person who did this will beg for forgiveness. So we see, so what is the Rambam telling us? He's saying like this: if something happens and it's appropriate to get angry, someone insults you, it's appropriate to get angry. He says there a person should go to the extreme and not get angry. And in the here, Maisha didn't have to get angry. See? So the people were getting all upset over water. Maisha could have done the same thing without getting angry. So they didn't eat the sacrifice, he could have done the same thing without getting angry. They let the women live, which was terrible. They were the ones who brought the death of 24,000 Jews. But he could have said the same thing without getting angry. Or he could have shown them that he was angry. But not actually by Yitzhak where he became angry. Because there wasn't that much to get angry over. But the other Rambam is referring to what he says, what happens if it's a dover godel shirei lichaisolav? If it's a great matter, say, where one should get angry. For example, it states, we have to get angry when we see rasha, wickedness in the world. When we see violence, it's to the contrary. The big problem today is we don't get angry. Our tolerance level has come too much. It used to be that if in the time of the Torah, that if someone was murdered, there was enormous anger to bring the person to justice. And if the murderer couldn't be found, the Beis Din had to go out and they had to bring a sacrifice, the Glarufa, and they had to say, ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for atonement, because such a thing should take place in our city. This was one murder. This was the zero tolerance level. Today, to the contrary, we don't get angry. Every day you can hear of murders, and every day you can hear of hijacking, and every day you can hear of rapes, and every day you can hear of terrorism. South Africa and everywhere. Every day you can hear of wars, every day you can hear of genocide, and you yawn, and you go on to the next story. It's another, all in a working day. That's on a dover godel sheroi lichai solov. There one must get angry, because that type of anger would bring to a no tolerance level, which would bring to action. So that's what the Rambam is saying. And this was the anger of Pinchas and of Matzishohu, see, and of HaKadosh Baruch Hu when he sent Klal Yisrael to war. At any rate, but lulei zeis, if it's not that, then a person has to be very careful. And he has to know that if he's losing control of himself, he's losing the Shekhinah. This is what we learn from this parsha, where it states that Moshe, well, it's something that Moshe went through so much, and they only could find three places that he actually lost control of himself. To the kind of, in other places, we see that Moshe became angry and broke the luchais, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu congratulated him for him. So he gave him a yashikeach that he did that. And he became angry and he went to war and judged all of the people that went after the golden calf. But they found that there were three places where he could have done what he did without the anger, and there was Nisalma Mimena Halocha. He forgot the Halocha. So this is what we learn from this Pasha of Ayikseif Moshe.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226 Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.